Okay, the Han Dynasty did continue many of the traditions established by the Qin Dynasty. They continued to use the basic structure of the Qin government and continued to sort of follow some of the legalist ideology. But they tempered this, or they sort of chilled it out a little bit by infusing Confucianism, blending Confucianism in with the legalist ideology. What this did is they sort of took the legalist ideas to keep the government really organized, but then they made it a little bit more, a little bit nicer for the population by bringing in the Confucian morality. Government was supposed to be benevolent and care for the people. They brought back the old traditions of Confucianism, including the sort of hierarchy in society. They ruled according to the mandate of heaven, brought that back. Remember, the mandate of heaven is that government has an obligation to care for its people. If it doesn't care for the people, they can be overthrown. Included in this bringing back of tradition, they bring back the tradition, traditional sort of political ideologies of the Chinese emperors during the Zhou dynasty, which included the sort of link to the ancestors. So the Han dynasty said that they were actually representing their royal ancestors, and the royal ancestors, the dead members of the Han family, would intercede on the behalf of the people with the gods. They would go to the gods and sort of help out the people. So not only was the living Han family important, but the living Han family claimed that the dead members of the Han family were acting on behalf of the people, and this helped support their power. Also, the Han Dynasty brought back all the old traditional rituals that were so important in the Confucianism and the traditions of the Zhou dynasty. So these rituals helped support the king's power, because the ritual sort of created a routine within the government, and people had to know the rituals and know the traditions in order to get close to the king, and the king was the one who oversaw those traditions and helped bring sort of stability through tradition and ritual. I'm sorry to be stumbling. Let me see if I can talk clearly. Okay, the organization of the Han government. They, of course, had the emperor at the top, but the emperor's government was run by his prime minister, and then below the prime minister were several ministers who acted as department head. They would have been there would have been nine of them. They would have been in charge of the military, the economy, the legal system, religion, and so on. Below the ministers would be local officials. These local officials were responsible for running the day-to-day affairs of the regional governments, collecting taxes, sending that tax money to the central government, recruiting people for the army or conscripting people into the army, working on local labor projects like irrigation systems and roads and canals and that type of thing, providing protection for the people in the regions. Each local administrator was relatively free to kind of run things on his own, though he was appointed by the central government in Chang'an, which is the capital of the Han Dynasty. Now, these people, the local officials, came from a different social class than had traditionally held the positions in China. During the Shang and the Zhou dynasties, the aristocracy held power in the local governments. The aristocracy were the traditional nobility, the large landholders whose families had held power for many, many generations. Well, the Han, like the Qin, wanted to limit the power of the aristocracy, because the aristocracy always had the potential to found dynasties on their own. So what the Han did is they granted these positions in their government to members of the gentry class, which were something like the Romans had in the equates. The Romans had a social class that were called the equates. These were folks who were sort of middle class, okay? They weren't the wealthy, traditional aristocracy, but they did own land, they did own farms. They were relatively well-to-do, but didn't hold traditional power in the government through their families. So all positions in the regional or local governments of the Han Dynasty were granted to members of the gentry class. These members of the gentry class were very well educated. Most of them were educated at a university, a state-run university in the capital of Chang'an. They were educated in the Confucian classics, which taught them to be intellectuals, but also taught them morality and taught them their place in society so that they fit into the hierarchy of the Confucian system as they were supposed to. In order to get their jobs, they did have to take exams, which were called civil service exams. They would take these tests, and based on their score, they would earn a position within the government. Now, technically, anybody could take a civil service exam and then earn a position within the Han government. The reality was, though, in order to pass one of these exams, you had to be very well educated and very well trained in the Confucian classics. And only members of the gentry class really could have afforded the education necessary to be able to pass one of these civil service exams. So technically, the government of the Han Dynasty was open to anybody, but it was really members of the gentry who were able to obtain positions within that government. The aristocracy was basically kept out because they threatened the emperor's power, and the lower classes couldn't afford the education necessary to get into the government.